Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
We're 4 minutes past the hour. Welcome to hour number two of Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in for Peter Kapsner. Peter on vacation this week, and we're so grateful that you continue to tune in, and we so appreciate our friends across the Upper Midwest in Hartford, Connecticut. So grateful to have you as a part of our regular listening family. I started hour number one reading briefly from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It's the resurrection chapter, actually, talking about Christ's resurrection and the importance of the hope and the reality that we have related to all of that. And Paul finishes up the chapter in verse 55 with these words, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You see, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And if that's a word for you today, thank you for listening. Be encouraged. Your work today, your ministry, your service is not in vain. God sees and he rewards accordingly. So God bless you. Coming up in just a few moments, Dr. Peter Kapsner had a chance to sit down with Greg Steer. He is director of Dare to Share. They talked really about the importance of teens engaging the culture and sharing their faith. And we're going to be doing that after this break. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. It's 6 past the hour.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings, and I'm pleased to be joined on the line at this time by Greg Steer of Dare to Share Ministries. It's a ministry that really helps our young people learn how to engage with and share our faith. One of those things that I think for all of us we find challenging, to just know how and when and where do we begin to share this wonderful news of the gospel. So Greg, thanks for joining us this morning.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about your ministry, Dare to Share, some of the events that you have, some of what drives you and your passion for young people experience, that sort of thing.
You know, I've just witnessed firsthand the power of the gospel. I was an inner city kid, never knew my dad, and a youth minister in the suburbs reached out and reached my whole family with the gospel of Christ, and literally I just watched my family absolutely transformed. I got involved with the youth ministry growing up. I learned how to share my faith. I began to realize, you know, sharing the gospel doesn't just change lives, it changes entire communities. And Dare to Share kind of started out of that same heartbeat, like, how do we really change our cities? How do we change our communities? How do we transform our teenagers? And because, you know, the average teenager is more likely to take medical advice from another teenager rather than a licensed medical professional, if that means teens have influence on teens. And so if we can equip teens to reach teens, we can really see the gospel spread faster and farther than we ever imagined.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You've been in ministry for a number of years, and what do you, how do you account for just the credibility of voice that teenagers, I mean, I know for me when I was a teenager, my peers were more important with their voice than the alleged experts of our world, like parents and churches and professors and that sort of thing. What accounts for that? Are they just trying to find their way in life and peers are so important?
Yeah, I think it's just friend to friend. It's all been amplified through technology. So now students have Snapchat and Instagram and group texting, and they're just talking to each other all the time. And so the average teen has something like 425 online and face-to-face friends. And that means their friendships have been amplified. And if we can leverage that for the gospel, so equip teens to initiate gospel conversations, then what happens is not only do they grow in their faith because they put their social equity on the line, but more and more kids are added to the kingdom of God. More teenagers come to Christ, and we can really see a movement. You know, every major spiritual awakening in the history of the United States has had teenagers on the leading edge of that awakening. And I believe it's time for another great awakening, and I believe teenagers are the ones to lead it, and we have to lead them to lead it. And that's what Dare to Share is all about. We inspire, equip, mobilize, deploy students to share the gospel. October 13th, we're doing a thing called Dare to Share Live. We used to do these two-day conferences all over the United States, and we said, you know what, if we want to reach every teen everywhere, what if we had a simulcast event? And so we're going to be training and equipping in 97 cities, 97 satellite sites, from, you know, Minneapolis to San Diego, to Florida, to Puerto Rico, to Alaska, 97 cities where students at churches will gather, get trained, equipped, inspired, and mobilized to share the gospel simultaneously. And our real prayer is it's a rally point for revival and spiritual awakening. And so I just ask anybody listening, you know, to set your alarm on your phone to 10:13 and pray for October 13th that God would use Dare to Share Live as a catalyst for revival in this nation, and we could see a generation rise up and transform this nation from the inside out.
You know, it really is incredible what our capacities are technologically to reach people these days. I know we talk about how technology is often used for ill, but there really is this positive side of it. When you talk about bringing disconnected communities together all around our country to participate in sharing with the gospel, I've got to believe you walk away from these events just feeling like, wow, I'm part of something bigger here. I really want to participate.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that, you know, we are the church. We are the church, and together, collectively, and we need to rally around the gospel and really unite together to reach every person in our cities with the gospel. And I believe teenagers can really lead the way and set the pace for the church at large for that to be able to happen. A lot of teenagers don't have the same denominational hang-ups, but they say, you're a believer, I'm a believer, let's join together and let's reach out. And so we're super excited for Dare to Share Live on October 13th. And if people want more information, they can go to daretosharelive.org, daretosharelive.org, and there's a map of all the satellite sites all across the nation. You can see the closest one to you. If you know a teen or a youth leader, or you are a youth leader, bring your students out. If you're a parent, bring your teenagers out and get their friends out. And let's together pray. We're gonna pray together across the nation. We're going to train and equip these students. And then we're going to go out and collect canned food for local rescue missions and share Christ. And we have a Dare to Share Live app that students can upload gospel conversations, starting videos to their friends and their feed, and to begin to multiply this out across the nation. We're going to have Skit Guys. I'm going to be there. Zane Black is going to be there. We're going to have Shane and Shane. It's going to be phenomenal and powerful. But at every one of these satellite sites, there is a worship band. There's an MC/trainer. So the live event feels like it's in those rooms, not just from the host site. It's at all the satellite sites. So it's going to be a party.
It's Greg Steer of Dare to Share Ministries. And Greg, I know from Faith Radio Morning standpoint, we'll have your information up on the website and our Facebook page too as we get close to the time of the event. And I'm curious, as you're working with young people and inviting them into this beautiful story of the gospel and that they can even lead the way in some ways, what are some of the first things that you try to communicate with them about preparing to share your faith? What are some ideas or tips or just even sort of an internal reality they need to develop to get ready to share the gospel?
Well, one, I think they need to start praying for their lost friends. You know, I think we vastly underestimate the power of prayer. And really getting students to think about their friends, pray for their friends. It's like when you buy a car and you think, oh, I've never seen this car before. You buy a car and then you see the car everywhere. You're like on the highway. You're like, oh, my goodness, everybody's got this car. When you pray for the lost, you see the lost. And when students begin to pray for their friends, they begin to see them with the lenses of Jesus and their hearts are broken. And then they need to engage. And so we have a simple strategy at Dare to Share called Ask, Admire, Admit. So ask questions, admire what you can about what they believe. Admit the reason you're a Christian is you're so messed up, you needed Jesus to save you. And so we really encourage a conversation, not just a presentation, and then to segue to the gospel. And, of course, students need trained and equipped, and we have a Dare to Share app that's got all of our training on it free of charge that anybody can download that will equip not just teenagers but adults to share the hope of Christ.
And I have to believe, too, as you're equipping these young people, that, yes, it is about sharing the gospel first and foremost and primarily, but I can't imagine the growth that you see in young people when they decide to start taking these steps that can feel scary, but they, as they walk into it, I would imagine there's growth that happens for them as well.
Oh, my goodness. It is the false youth leader dilemma is that my kids got to grow first before they go with the gospel. But when you look at Jesus, they would grow as they go. I mean, they went on mission, and they grew as they went. And I think one of the things we have twisted in Western Christianity is we think we've got to make evangelism the 401 class. No, it's the 101 class. Welcome to the family. Mm-hmm. Now tell somebody, you know?
Yeah.
And then you grow because it makes you depend on God.
Yeah, it's such a great point, right? And I never actually know that I've felt prepared to share the gospel. It just is something that you just learn to do, and it's even just part of a lifestyle that you begin to live.
That's right. And it makes you utterly dependent. I've been sharing Christ for over 40 years. Every time I am scared to death, I say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take control of me now. Here I go. And it makes you utterly dependent on God. And what's the key to growth? John 15. I'm divine, you're the branches. Connect with Christ, and then his growth will come through you. And so that's what we need to do, and that's what evangelism helps our students do. So if we want to see our kids grow in their faith, we've got to see them go with the gospel of Christ.
That's great stuff, Greg. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back after the break, I would love for your perspective. I know a lot of my young people in the classes that I teach don't feel like they even want to share their faith because it's this idea of, well, that might work for you, but it's not going to work for me. And so I would love your perspective on how we can handle our increasingly relativistic culture when we share something that we declare as true. So more in a moment with Greg Steer of Dare to Share Ministries on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Peter Kapsner, and pleased to be joined on the line by Greg Steer of Dare to Share Ministries. It's a ministry that really equips and empowers our teenagers to learn how to share their faith. And Greg, before the break, I referenced that for my young people in the university setting, they sometimes feel disempowered, and I think we all do to some extent, in today's sort of relativistic, pluralistic world, to share our faith where we're claiming that there's the truth of this good news, and yet oftentimes people are kind of walking out life saying, hey, that might work for you, but that's not going to work for me. How do you help equip and empower teenagers in that situation?
Well, we really equip them not to lead with apologetics, but to lead with the story of the gospel, like Paul did in Acts 17. He told the story of the gospel from creation to the cross to the resurrection, and he kind of concludes with apologetics. He's given proof to this by raising Jesus from the dead. And that's when some believe, some mock, and a few others say, hey, we want to learn more about this. And I think that's the same culture we live in today. It's more like the Athenian Greek culture than, the Jewish culture that believed in the Torah. So we say, listen, man, tell the story of the gospel as a story that just happens to be true. But when you get to that point, make sure you what Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That one of the things that sets Christianity apart is that Jesus claimed to be the exclusive way to God, and every other religion is a works-based, turn, try, cry, climb the ladder. Only the narrow way of Christianity is faith alone and Christ alone. And I personally believe, according to Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That the gospel is like a grenade. You pull the pin, it will explode. And so we don't have to have better arguments. We need to tell a better story. And then I think support it with the apologetics. But the Holy Spirit will work in hearts in ways we can never imagine, because it's a supernatural, transformative message. I don't know how God infused divine power into a staff that would deliver the Israelites, right, through the Red Sea. I don't know how God infused divine power into a set of propositions, a message, but he did, and it's powerful. So our responsibility is to give it and to trust the Holy Spirit to ignite life into the souls of those we're sharing with.
Such a hopeful and encouraging way to think about it. And in terms of young people, but I think all of us again as well, how important is it that we're actually in relationship with the people? And it's not a bait and switch relationship. These are our friendships. These are our family members where we're ready to share about our faith, but we're not trying to get into relationship with somebody so that we can share the faith and feel like it's a bait and switch. What does this look like in the context of just real relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Jesus is called friend of sinners, and so we need to know people that know Christ and know people that don't know Christ, and to naturally share the gospel, because you talk about what you're passionate about. And so I'm from Denver, so I'm a Denver Bronco fan, so eventually in the conversation I'll be talking about the Broncos. I won't be talking about how the Minnesota Vikings beat the Broncos not too long ago, but anyway, I talk about the Broncos because I love the Broncos. I talk way more about Jesus because I love Jesus way more than the Broncos, right? And so it should be a natural part of our conversation, not a segmented part of our life. And that's what keeps it from being a bait and switch. I don't wait to talk to people about Christ. I weave them into everyday conversation, This morning I met somebody at the gym that was working the front desk. It's a new gym I joined, and just started talking, and she said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a preacher," and shared with her a video that we produced, Life in Six Words, and she's going to watch it. We're going to talk about it later. It wasn't awkward. It wasn't bait and switch. It was just, I was just talking about it because I'm passionate about it. And I think we need to help teenagers look at Jesus as the center of their life and something they're passionate about. Just like, you know, they talk about Snapchat or friendships or movies or film. They talk about Jesus because they love Jesus. And, you know, if you fall in love with evangelism, you're going to fizzle out. But if you fall in love with Jesus, you will always evangelize because you can't help but talking about him. And so that's what Dare to Share is about. That's what Dare to Share Live is all about, is how do we talk to our friends about Christ in natural ways, but sharing with them that supernatural message that can transform them.
It's Greg Steer of Dare to Share Ministries talking about empowering our young people for evangelism. And Greg, just as a side note, I'm definitely going to call you back sometime in late December. You know, with us here in Vikings country, I know you have sort of the Vikings cast-off quarterback, Case Keenum, in Denver. So we might have to sort this out. You know, your credibility is on the line here, Greg, with the Broncos.
Hey, we got Case, baby.
Hey, before we just have a couple minutes left before we run, I would love, I know that, again, young people coming from maybe broken families or maybe just didn't have that kind of model of the faith and sharing faith growing up sometimes if it just wasn't that kind of family situation. How does your organization help come around them to really invite them into the journey with a whole collection of people, younger, older, all of that?
Well, I think that's the power of youth ministry. You know, some people say youth ministry is dead. I'm like, no, youth ministry is alive because more and more the family systems are broken. I come from one of those broken families. I never knew my biological father. I actually led my mom to Christ. And I had a youth group family, though, that took me in, that became mentors and models. And I think we need to really equip youth leaders to build a setting where young people that especially come from broken families can be, you know, discipled and equipped to reach and disciple and equip. And so I think youth ministries is built for that. And that's why I love youth leaders, and that's why I love youth groups. And that's why I'm inviting everybody to be a part of the Dare to Share Live, because I really feel we'll, as youth groups collectively in the city, we'll get that mission together and then go out on a single day, October 13th, and, you know, pray for revival and unite together for the cause of Christ to reach as many as we can.
And Greg, if somebody feels like they're failing miserably as they get involved, and maybe they get excited and then they go and share faith with one of their friends and they feel like they just stumble like crazy, what suggestions do you have for them?
You know, don't give up. And it's just like, you know, if you learn how to play the guitar, you know, it's like the chords at first are really painful and hard and you probably really stink. But it takes time, and then you get those chords together. So learn the gospel, learn the chords. They can actually download, again, the Dare to Share app. It's a free app, Dare, the number 2 share app, that will help them learn the chords of the gospel. And, you know, it's like anything. The more you play, the more you go, the better you get. And at the end of the day, stuttering or stumbling through it, it's the power of the gospel that changes lives, not our eloquence. It's the power of the message. So get it out there. Get it out there in love. Get it out there clearly. Stutter, stammer, fumble through it, but give it out of a heart of love. And I think people are more impressed by authentic, love-drenched conversation than the slickest presentation ever. So be loving, be kind, and get that message out there.
I love it, Greg. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. We will definitely hit the Dare to Share ministry as it's coming closer to the dates, and look forward to you joining us again, maybe as we get closer to the launch of the simulcast.
That'll be great.
All right, have a great morning. More to come on Faith Radio Mornings.
We're 31 minutes past the hour, and a powerful breakpoint with John Stone Street. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, talking about some of the news of the day and a very special event that took place that really is not getting a lot of mainstream coverage. We'll tell you about that. And by the way, if your favorite baseball team is looking for a pitcher, you need to consider Sister Mary Jo Sobiech. She's a Chicago area nun gaining national attention. She fired a perfect strike while throwing out the first pitch before the White Sox Royals game on Saturday. Video of the throw by Sister Mary Jo has gone viral. She's from the Marian Catholic High School in Chicago Heights, but she could only play for a team that's called the Saints or something like that. Sister Mary Jo, check it out. All right, we'll have more of Faith Radio Mornings after the news. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we talked to Dr. Linda Mental of the Dr. Linda Mental Show, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 and Sundays at 6:30. We talked about how to take unwanted criticism.
I mean, I've had people do that in my life where they've spoken into my life. I didn't ask them, but I really did try to consider what they said. And I think that's the hardest part when you're getting feedback and it's critical, is to not react at the moment and just think about, is there anything in this that the person is saying that might ring true? And a lot of times, you know, Dick, I'll sit and pray about it and say, okay, God, you know, I heard something that was difficult to hear, but is there something in this that you're really trying to speak to me about, or I need to really work on, or it isn't lining up with my beliefs and my faith in you? I think we can do that if we're open again and not defensive, but it's really hard to do that because we don't like to hear the things about us that aren't, you know, so great.
That's Dr. Linda Mental. You can hear the entire interview from yesterday by going to Faith Radio Morning's homepage on our website at myfaithradio.com. You can also put in the search bar Dr. Linda Mental, M-I-N-T-L-E, and you'll see a whole host of different shows and topics that Linda's been a part of over the last bit. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to Dr. Richard Land. He is president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary. He has a great apologetics conference coming up. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Stay with us. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, coming up on 38 past the hour.
I'm not necessarily a list kind of guy, but in some cases it's helpful, especially for parents with struggling teens. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Here's some of my top do's and don'ts for moms and dads. Trust that God is teaching both you and your kids through good times and bad. Keep the relationship with your teen alive no matter what you face together. And change your bad habits when things are obviously your fault. And a few don'ts, don't act out of anger. And don't ignore the negative stuff in hopes that it'll go away. And finally, don't give in when you know you should stand your ground. Mom and Dad, no one is more qualified to influence your teen than you.
Mark Gregston is devoted to helping parents of struggling teens. Find his small group curricula online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Past the hour, Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Peter Kapsner, who is on vacation. I'm glad I'm here today because it's a joy, as always, to talk to Dr. Richard Land. He's been a regular of Faith Radio Mornings for some time and always look forward to a conversation with him. Dr. Land, welcome.
Good morning.
You have been out and about. What has captured your time and attention as of late?
Well, we have been moving to our new campus, which we've now done, and we're very excited about it. It's our fourth campus in our history, and very centrally located, very 21st century, lots of chrome and glass and open air. And
it's in Charlotte, is it not?
Our school year has started. Our new school year has started, and we're busily making preparations for our annual seminar, which is going to be October 12th and 13th.
Well, I do want to talk about that because that plays into some of what I know has been happening. Primarily, I want to talk a little bit about the message that religious liberty will be defended. There was a recent meeting that President Trump and some of his staffers put together, and you're saying it's not getting much coverage by the mainstream press and media. I did hear about it, but obviously I work on the Christian news side of things. Can you tell us what it was and when it took place?
Well, it was convened by the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, at the president's wish, and it was a ministerial on religious freedom, which means that they invited the equivalent of State Department officials and people who deal with religious liberty issues from countries all around the world to come together for a sort of a summit on the crisis in religious liberty in the world. There's less religious liberty than there was 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, and more religious persecution and discrimination. A two-day conference. They issued the Potomac Declaration, which was a ringing declaration in favor of freedom of conscience and freedom of worship, freedom to practice your faith, a ringing underscoring of the 1948 United Nations Human Declaration Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now this is really unprecedented, and I served for 11 years on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, and I can tell you, the problem is real. It is getting worse, and there's never been in the modern era this kind of endorsement by a U.S. administration of this issue. This is something that is really very much needed and very much a new kind of initiative. And the fact that and they're going to have this ministerial every year, and the fact that it was held in the last week of July in the nation's capital, sponsored by the Trump administration and the State Department, and it got very, very little coverage in the national news. If you've been watching ABC, CBS, NBC, CNBC, or CNN, you would never have known that it happened.
There were over 80 different countries or representatives were a part of this meeting. I mean, it really was an unprecedented gathering.
It was a summit. It was a summit on perhaps the core value of American civilization, which is freedom of conscience and freedom to worship and to practice your faith.
Well, you know, one of the things that I discovered while reading your press release and some of the information related to it, and I never understood this about U.S. foreign policy, because of the Religious Freedom Act of 98, the President and Congress have to take religious freedom issues into account when conducting U.S. foreign policy. That was news to me.
Yes, I worked very hard, along with many, many other people, to get that act passed in 1998, and we're now seeing the 20th anniversary of it. And I must say that the one thing that none of us, and I've talked to lots of people who were involved, none of us foresaw, this is one of those unforeseen but good consequences, is that the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998 required the State Department, every embassy in the world of the U.S., had to issue an annual report on the state of religious liberty in their country. Now, this was assigned normally to the lowest person on the totem pole at the embassy in that country. But they had to do it because it was the law. So they did a report on it. And what it did was it educated them and it sensitized them to the state of religious freedom or lack thereof in their country. And what we have seen over the last 20 years, as these people have moved up in position and in prestige in the foreign service because of their seniority, as they've moved up from being the low man on the totem pole and have moved forward over the years, we have seen a transformation of the State Department culture. 20 years ago, they looked upon religious liberty as the redheaded stepchild at the family picnic. They just didn't pay attention to it. Now, the State Department is much more sensitive to it, and we have seen our government playing a significant role, more under some presidents than others. Mr. Obama did not give very much attention to the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, and this was not a top priority of his. It was of President George W. Bush, but I must say, no one has given it the kind of high-profile emphasis that Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo and the State Department have given it.
Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, is our guest today on Faith Radio Mornings. And Dr. Land, when we come back, I do want to talk for a moment about the irony of while This is exciting about foreign policy and freedom of religion. Yet here in the United States, it feels like our own religious freedom is under significant attack. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that when we return. We're 46 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in for Peter Kapsner. This is Faith Radio Mornings. My guest today is Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. And Dr. Land, we were talking about really international religious freedom, and yet there seems to be continued attacks on our own people and things like the Colorado Civil Rights Commission bringing really frivolous charges against followers of Jesus. What is your opinion of the state of the union, so to speak, as it pertains to religious freedom right here in the good old USA?
Well, compared to many countries around the world, what they're facing is religious persecution. We're facing discrimination, which is very different, and I don't want to compare the two.
That's a good word.
Because a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters are suffering greatly. But what we have in the United States are severe attacks on the free exercise clause. We're not going to see government establishment of religion in America, and we shouldn't want that because it kills true religion. But we are seeing, particularly through the courts, attempts to suppress the free exercise of some expressions of religious freedom, mainly by evangelical Christians and by conservative Catholics, on the abortion issue, on the homosexual issue, on the transsexual issue, and the Colorado Baker is a good example of that. And Mr. Trump is addressing that by going to the root of the problem, which are the courts. He is nominating and to the Supreme Court and to the appellate courts and to the state and to the district courts, original intent, strict constructionist jurists. That means they're going to be judges who call balls and strikes. They're umpires. They're not going to try to radically change the strike zone. That's not what courts are supposed to do. But it's been what courts have been doing for the last 40 years in the United States. We've had activist judges who have been, by judicial fiat, changing the strike zone, not just calling balls and strikes, which is what you're supposed to do when you're an umpire and when you're a judge. And he has appointed, he's nominated and had confirmed more appellate federal judges than any president in history at this point in his tenure. And he's just nominated his second Supreme Court Justice, both of whom are solid, rock-solid, conservative, strict constructionist judges who are going to uphold the American people's guaranteed right under the Constitution to the free exercise of their faith without any interference from the government.
That's amazing. It is exciting to hear. It leads me to this, because I know you're working on your 25th annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It was a few years ago that the Barna Research Group really conducted a survey amongst evangelical believers, and a very small percentage, 4, 5, maybe 6% of those surveyed could actually delineate a Christian worldview. We all have a worldview. I think it's it's apparent whether we realize it or not. We have a worldview,
right.
But what is a Christian worldview from your perspective?
Well, it's a worldview that believes, first of all, in the supernatural. It believes that that there is a spiritual realm, and that believes that God is the God of Holy Scripture, and He has revealed Himself to us in His Word. And through the Holy Spirit, and supremely through His incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, and that they have given us total truth, absolute truth, truth with a capital T, that there is good and evil, that some things are always wrong and some things are always right, based upon that revelation of God's Word, and revelation of God's character to us, and that we have an eternal soul that is going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And whether we're going to live in heaven or whether we're going to live in hell depends on whether or not we have trusted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's Son, on the cross for our sins, and we've invited him into our hearts, and we've asked him to forgive us and to save us.
Dr. Land, I know you're a big advocate and have given your life to the study of apologetics. You have a great conference coming up October 12th and 13th. Talk a little bit about it. You have some amazing guests, Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and others. Take a few moments. Why should believers be a part of this conference?
Well, they're going to learn a lot, and they're going to be inspired. They're going to learn a lot about how to defend their faith, and they're going to be inspired to do it. They're going to be hearing some of the world's greatest Christian spokespersons on these issues. And they're going to be having fellowship with thousands of their fellow believers who are there similarly to learn how to share their faith and to defend the historic Christian faith once delivered to the saints. I enjoy going every year. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose because we have more than one thing going on most of the time. We have usually separate tracks, and you can pick and choose which ones you want to do. But I get I listen to all of them, and it usually takes me 3 months after the conference to get everything listened to. But just to give you an example, this one particularly vivid image. We have a lot of homeschoolers that bring their children with them, their teenagers. I was introducing one of our professors who was getting ready to give a lecture on the problem of evil in the world and how that coincides with God as a good God and a loving God and a holy God. And there was a father sitting on the first row, and he had a 14-year-old daughter on one side and a 12-year-old daughter on the other side. And I sat and watched them furiously taking notes during the presentation. And afterwards, I went down and introduced myself. And I thought, you know, now that's a classic example of raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord right there. And it's just a wonderful time. Charlotte's a lovely place in the fall. It's October 12th and 13th, Friday and Saturday, at Calvary Church. And if people want to come, they can go to ses.edu, and get information on how they can register and they can come.
That's great. Dr. Richard Land, thank you for your time today. So appreciate you, President of the Southern Evangelical Seminary. Appreciate what you're doing with this conference. And God bless you this week ahead. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. God bless.
Well, as we wrap up Faith Radio Mornings for a Tuesday, I'm Dick Whitworth. Thank you again for listening. Again, our hearts and prayers go out to our friends in Dane County, Wisconsin, in the Madison area. The west side of Dane County was hit with some expansive storms yesterday. There was flooding. There were cars and folks stranded, and so hopefully the waters have rescinded. Hopefully the rain has passed, but certainly we do love you folks and appreciate you, and we will be praying for you. By the way, for those of you in the Twin Cities who travel east and west on 94 past the big 3M building, you know, the one that turns into the Christmas tree around December, you may have noticed that they have wrapped their building with these words: curiosity is just the beginning. My wife Jane and I were on 94 the other night and drove by and thought, what is going on? Well, apparently, viewable from eastbound and westbound lanes of I-94, the building wrap covers 30% of the two sides of the iconic building and serves as a visual reminder and representation of 3M's Wondering campaign. The Wonder campaign seeks to inspire people to examine the world around them and see that curiosity can lead to great discovery. So curiosity is just the beginning, and may that be true for you today. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Tuesday and rest of the week. I'll be back tomorrow on Faith Radio Mornings. Peter Kapsner is out all this week on vacation. Neil Staven joins us Thursday and Friday. Have a great day. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.